All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, much like a magical person from an 80s teen movie, I have acquired a magical drum machine.
Ooh, we're making beats.
We're making beats, but the magic is very limited here. Are you familiar with the, what it means to quantize something?
Yeah. It's keeping the beat. It'll fudge the timing for you so it sounds better.
Yeah, it locks everything to kind of a grid.
Yeah. You know?
So the cool thing about this magical drum machine here is that it can quantize anything.
Define anything for me.
Anything. I haven't done it on a person yet.
I
imagine it would put their organs in a new order, and I think that would kill them.
It would alphabetize my organs. Oh no.
Yeah, I think they might. So I don't want to do that. But what I did think of is I've got this book here of popular baby names.
Okay.
And I'm going to run it through the quantizer, which is going to make everything kind of uniform and stick to the beat. And then we'll see what we get in there. See if it suggests a game.
I'm going to ask you a question. I need you to answer in a real menacing voice. Okay.
Sure.
Oh, wait a minute. What does it mean when you say it quantizes everything?
It quantizes everything.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, I don't know how you would even begin to do this, so I'm just going to hand it over to you.
You just rub it on there. So here's a book. Here's a drum machine. You just rub them together.
Oh, okay.
And you say bleep blorp. You say the magic word.
Okay. There, and did you works. Just do it, or do you need me to do it?
Yeah. No, it's bleep blorp.
Okay.
Don't tell anybody. Okay. And now let me open up this book of baby names. Check this out. Ed, Edward.
What?
Why? It just keeps going.
Why are there so many duplicate entries for Ed?
I don't know.
Is it just varying levels of D's?
It's there are a lot of different D's. I didn't know you could spell Ed with six D's, but I guess it makes sense. I knew you could have an Ed with six D's. I met a guy once, but I did not know that you could. So yeah, so isn't that weird? Magic.
Yeah, that's right. Like that old shitty old cartoon, Ed and Eddie. Oh, game computer. No.
No, come on. Come on. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Abject Suffering, where we're teetering on the edge of the Great Oregon Time Rift.
And this week we're talking. Well, now I'm wrapped around the axle in the Oregon Time Rift.
Yeah, Oregon Time Rift. You know, great Oregon Time Rift. Also great.
They've already been alphabetized. What fresh hell is this?
Man, alphabetizing your organs. Okay. Appendix at the top.
Appendix up there. Yeah,
the brain. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that probably. What's with a C?
With a colon.
Colon.
See, here's the thing. You know, there's colon, but there's diaphragm. Also the large intestine. You know, so like it's all part of the same.
Well, they wouldn't be connected in this new version.
So the colon would come before the duodenum. In this situation, which would be a real problem because I would be trying to, how many nutrients can you absorb from shit?
Yeah, not many. I mean, well, dogs can. so we'd have to learn dog tech.
Yeah.
So this is, we're talking about Ed, and Eddie, and this is their misadventures. Ed.
Ed. MS Adventures. Yeah. It's a real problem. This is demanded by Exotic Minivan, who says, okay.
It's a great name, by the way. I'm always really happy good. To see that handle. I like it.
I always wanted this game as a kid because I was a fan of the show it was based on. My God, they took these frankly already disgusting looking characters and turned them into a 3D nightmare. Other than that, just another PS2 era 3D licensed game. So I think you're wrong. They're disgusting looking, but also disgusting sounding and acting.
Yeah, they're gross. It's a deeply unpleasant video game. Based on I found
deeply unpleasant show. At some point in the past, I think we complained about it because that also got Pondo to put it in the suggestion machine, saying I never considered Ed and Eddie might be somehow flawed until listening to your show, but I can see how maybe some aspects of it might be slightly off-putting. Let's talk about Ed and Eddie before we talk about the game, just so people are aware. Also, I didn't get very far in this. I couldn't figure out how to pick up a cat.
I didn't get very far in it because it sounded like audio wise, it's like a deeply, deeply unpleasant game. These three horrible little monsters that we're going to talk about constantly yell their barks.
Yep.
And it's very hard to deal with. This was a cartoon that was after my time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Cartoon Network show.
Yeah.
Three friends who all have the unlikely name Ed.
Right.
They live in the suburbs, and they, as far as I know, they just like do awful shit.
They're little scammers. They're always trying to get one over on people.
Yes. It's all about three horrible little kids who don't go to school, as far as I can tell, who are just constantly trying to like rip off their friends.
Yeah.
You know, and what do they need the money for? Unclear.
No, they need it for Jawbreakers. It's their favorite candy.
Whose favorite candy is that?
It lasts all day, Gary.
That's awful. I love this song. It's so long.
You have to say dollars per hour. A Jawbreaker is going to be your best value. I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just saying the numbers work out.
Gum is infinite, though.
No, it's not. Gum famously runs out of flavor.
It runs out of flavor, but it doesn't run out of itself. You know, whereas a Jawbreaker, you'll dissolve it eventually.
Yeah, true.
This was made by this cartoon's made by a guy named Danny Antonucci, who made it on a dare and looks like he's going to either like bench press me in a prison or run a pawn shop. Like, I don't say that in a classist way. He just does not look like an animator to me. He's a tough looking dude.
Yeah. He's little Osmi. Presentation wise, kind of rough around the edges. We should talk about the individual Eds. So on a dare, get out there, make your paper, but also this on a dare.
Yeah. I dare you to make Ed and Eddie.
Nobody had done it before.
Yeah. Just like nobody calls me. Are you going to make Ed and Eddie? Are you a chicken? Nobody calls me a chicken.
So the leader of the group is Eddie. He's the short bald one. He's the short bald boy.
Yeah, he's I hate little bald boys, dude.
He's the fast talker who comes up with all the scams or whatever. Very unpleasant person. Just really he's a little anger goblin is what he is.
He is balding as well. He's like a very little kid who's like balding. He looks a little bit like Baby Herman from Roger Rabbit in like 4 years. Gross little man.
Second in the hierarchy, we have Ed with two D's, also called double D's, or a couple times in the cartoon they call him Big Naturals.
Yep. And the weird thing about him is he has a big animate breast.
Yeah.
he's just a guy. He's a brunette. he's a guy with a hat.
Yeah, he's like a skinny, timid nerd kind of guy.
Yeah,
you know, always second guessing stuff. But and then at the bottom of the hierarchy is the barely sentient Ed with one D.
This is the attic stooge, the circus Charlie for their gang. is this guy.
this is a depiction of stupidity, of just outright dumbness that I like. You don't want to say like, oh, they could never do this today, by the voice and by his mannerisms and by his obsessions. Yeah. For all the world, if you showed this to a child today, they would say, why did they make a cartoon where one of the leads is portrayal of a developmentally disabled person?
Yeah. Why are they picking on that guy?
Yeah.
One of his big things, one of his barks is about how much he loves to dig.
Yeah.
And that was a joke from There's Something About Mary. People who are mentally disabled.
Yes.
Was they love to dig. Like it's straight up the same joke.
Yep.
You know, it's bad.
Yeah. But they just
mean, nervous, and dumb. Mm-hmm. The three character traits you want to hang out with. none of them are particularly funny. Like I do jokes. Like they get into schemes. Mm-hmm. That maybe it's fun because like, oh shit, you know, now they're digging around the sewers for some reason to make a new trampoline or something like that. But mm-hmm. they're not pleasant. Like there's no charisma between any of them.
This is part of a valley. Like people have a lot of affection for like Cartoon Network kind of stuff. Like this particular era. Like late 90s, early 2000s. And I think that mostly they are thinking about, Gendy, the Powerpuff Girls guy.
Powerpuff Girls and Dexter's Lab.
Yes. I think that they're thinking about those shows, which look good. There's a real dark cloud over that entire kind of era, which is, I would call it the cow and chicken. Kind of thing. This is very much just like, let's make a grotesque, like somehow an artless Ren and Stimpy.
I was gonna say that like Ren and Stimpy is obviously like an inspiration for this, but Ren and Stimpy, for people who haven't seen it, I think that a lot of imitators don't get like nail the surrealness of Ren and Stimpy. Like Ren and Stimpy is a whole weird world. Yeah. It's not just gross. It's the world is very strange and gross.
Yeah. And also there is just a very straightforward element of an abusive relationship that they're portraying.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Whereas like, I'm sure that the smart Ed abuses the other Eds.
Oh, absolutely.
In this, but not, it's not funny. it's not abuse I laugh at. Unlike Ren Stimpy.
It's not edgy.
It doesn't do a lot.
Yeah,
for me, it's a gross period of time for me. Like I've never been into the Powerpuff Girls or Dexter's Lab either. Mm-hmm. Like I would agree they look better, but I've never really liked that guy's cartoons. I don't think that they're funny. Like mm-hmm. I don't think that the writing is good. And this was also when Johnny Bravo was hanging out a lot, which is where comedy went to die.
Yeah.
Like, God, if you could have all the money back that Cartoon Network spent trying to convince me Johnny Bravo was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good Lord.
Yeah. No, Johnny Bravo, for people who are unaware, imagine like a bad Elvis impersonator who looks a little bit like, what if Duke Nukem was a triangle? Just constantly went around and unsuccessfully hit on women.
That is the show. And it was on all the time.
Yeah. On all the time. I would turn it on, say, hey, maybe there's going to be some Courage the Cowardly Dog here. And I'm going to it's going to fuck. It's going to be real good. And then no, it'd be Johnny Bravo.
Courage the Cowardly Dog was cowardly about everything except for STIs, in which he's incredibly brave about them.
One would say he was whistling past the graveyard about that. Honestly, he was in real denial about the risks he was taking.
Yeah, he would put his dick in anything and anyone. And it's, you know, like go to the bar, just wait for it to close, and just literally whoever was left.
Yeah.
Courage the Cowardly Dog would get them pregnant.
Yeah, shoot and, first, ask questions later.
Yeah, yeah. Or ask questions never. You know, he just shoot first, shoot twice, shoot a third time. And if his partner shoots, good. But if not, who gives a shit? Courage the Cowardly Dog is a selfish lover.
Yeah.
Who only cares about his own orgasm.
Mm-hmm. Ed and Eddie is part of this part of this cadre, like, which was kind of like a second phase of that whole that whole kind of miniature renaissance that was happening there.
Yeah. I don't want to take this away from anybody who watched it when they were a kid and liked it. You know, like if I were much younger when this came out, I'm sure, you know, I don't know. I like the Brothers Grunt. I liked a bunch of bad shows.
Yeah.
I might have some nostalgia for this. If you go into it without knowing what it is, it's just three mean idiots screaming. The appeal is real hard to see.
Yeah.
The big dumb one has one of the worst and most annoying walk cycles I've ever seen in a video game.
All of them have terrible walk cycles in this video game.
Yeah.
They're all kind of like pitched forward at the hips.
Well, his is pitched back. He's the one who walks while he's limboing.
Yeah.
He leans all the way back in an effort to be like cartoonish in a sweaty way.
Yeah. So this video game, you're playing as the three Eds and switching between them, doing like a three Vikings kind of thing. Each of them has a little different power, and there's a special move, you know, for when each one of them is at the lead, where they all get together and do something. So the dumb Ed is the one that they turn into a battering ram.
Yes,
things like that.
Yeah, so you have different formations.
Yeah,
as well. While you're going through and terrorizing your neighborhood and trying to get money in order to eat candy.
Torturing animals.
The cheapest thing there is. Yeah, hurting animals a lot in order to buy not only the cheapest thing there is, but the cheapest kind of the thing there is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like jawbreakers, those things that like you can't buy in some stores because they're not popular. You know, but when you do, they're 20 cents.
Here's the thing about jawbreakers. Like, you might be thinking of an Everlasting Gobstopper, which is a candy that can fit inside of a mouth. The jawbreaker, the big white,
it's the size of a baseball.
It's the size of a baseball and has the texture of the moon.
Yes. You kind of can suck on half of it for a long time until you eventually can get the whole thing in your mouth. I've done a jawbreaker before in my life.
Same.
You know, not recently. You know, it's not, I didn't, probably not more than once. I probably just did the one time and was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
This sucks. But it's these three little kids who want multiple jawbreakers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's the whole thing's very sus. I don't know.
God.
What are you gonna do with those things? Unless they're going to use them as bullets or something. Like, one of them's got a slingshot. I imagine if you hit somebody in the slingshot with a full jawbreaker, they would just die. You know, and if you have a good guy with a jawbreaker who can stop these little urchins, you know, that's what you want.
Yeah.
These are bad guys with jawbreakers.
No. They can't be allowed to get more ammo for their their makeshift devices. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And just this game, like the fact that they are all named so similarly, and even I, as a person who was 12 when this cartoon came out, like I should be primed to know the difference between these. When it says Ed is able to pick this up, Ed is able to do this. So get to a point where you have to pick up a cat and throw it to distract a dog to get by it. And it's like,
cruel, but
like it says, it just, hey, dummy, Ed can do this. Like, which one? Ed.
Yeah.
Ed can do
it. It really relies on you being very, like, you know them like they're family. Like, this is marketed to people who are their uncles. It's the kind of thing, it's the whole hook of the show is that they have similar names. But there's a reason why that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's not called Ren and Renpy, you know. It's just a horrible visual novel engine. And Ren being there like, you idiot, this harem will never work out. Renpy and Stimpy.
I just learned a new word.
Just
like looking at the summary of the characters, Ed, the dumb one, so Ed with 1D, Ed is the strong and dim-witted yet kind-hearted dog's body of the group.
I've never heard of a dog's body.
A dog's body. So that has a link. A dog's body, or less commonly a dog robber, is someone who does menial or drudge work.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's another way of saying, it's the English, the British version of calling somebody a gopher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it's named after like a bag of peas or something. What? British slang. Yeah. Oh. The Royal Navy used dried peas boiled in a bag as one of their staple foods circa the early 19th century. Sailors nicknamed this item dog's body. Doesn't give a reason.
No, why?
Hey.
Sailors were fun. they just named, I don't know, why not? You call it a Chaz Wazzer.
Once again, Britain, we really need you to get a handle on all this.
Yeah. I keep looking at you. I keep having your food show up on YouTube. The other day, I was at a Starbucks drinking a coffee. And in Oregon, this is rare in Oregon, but it happens sometimes. There were two guys wearing two different outlandish colors of camo discussing hypotheticals where they would be good guys with guns around bad guys with guns.
Oh no.
It was awful. Like I just sat there and drank a coffee and listened to them fantasize about shooting people.
Did they basically. Did they talk about it like they were making plans? Like were they headed to something or was we're two people and this is the only way we relate to each other?
It was that and then also just, you know, we have shootings all the time. Yeah. You know, so it's in the news.
Yeah.
That's happening. But yeah, it was just really gross. Just like they being like, if this happened, then I would do this and this. Like, and they were just like, yeah, they were like really excited. Like they were talking about Call of Duty or something. I hated it.
I need to laugh. I need you to mine your memory for examples of what situations they thought that they would survive.
They thought they would survive all of them.
Okay.
And they were saying, you know, like, yeah, if you're, you know, I'm at work and somebody comes up, we get a shooter. I know what I'm going to do. And he talked about it. He had his gun in his car, which was weird. Like I'm going to go out to the parking lot, which is very funny. Just like, excuse me, sir. Give me a moment. I forgot my wallet.
A thing that people with guns love is when, the people around them leave. You know,
yeah.
bank robber comes in, you know, holds up his gun and says, all right, everybody leaves this room and nobody gets hurt.
Yeah. if you do timeout, yeah. Timeout hard counters everything.
Red light.
So timeout. And then you can go out to the car and get anything you need. Call the cops, do whatever you want. You know, so he's talking about going out and getting the gun. And then it was just really gross talk about like it was funny because the thing that was most striking about it is because, you know, we make our career in video games. In video games, you shoot people a lot.
Yes.
So they were talking a lot like they were talking about a video game, you know, talking about like taking cover and shit things. But it wasn't, you know, and then, like somebody's going to be like, are you sure they weren't talking about a video game? Yes. Like, yeah. I don't remember every specific context clue, but it was real life.
Yeah.
They were talking about.
Also, there was two grown men wearing camouflage. And
like two, like one was either my colorblindness hit me on this. It was either yellow or green. Like there's a shade of that I get confused. And the other one is either pink or blue.
Yeah.
Shades I get confused. But the point being, neon green, you know, none of those colors are things that you camouflage with.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's a, you know, there you can go, you wear camo to go be a hunter or something, but do not tell me that camouflage is not coded in a like paramilitary, I am ready to kill somebody kind of sense.
Yeah. Like fashion camouflage is a gross thing for that, you know, it sucked. Yeah. Huh. I can't remember what about Ed and Eddie made you think of it.
Because you were talking about killing
guy
people
with a slingshot and a bad guy with a slingshot.
Yeah,
the jawbreaker. But yeah, it was real gross.
But their plan boiled down to the killer will let me leave momentarily to come back and stop him.
I think that the plan was they would notice a killer is about.
Okay.
And then they would sneak out to their car, like Die Hard or something.
Uh-huh.
Get their gun and then storm the castle and save everybody. I hated it. It made me so mad. It's just I fucking hate this.
But
I'll be happy if I'm one of those guys is there.
Yeah. No. And then the cops can shoot you when they show up.
Yeah. It's going to be phenomenal. I cannot wait to be shot by one of these guys on accident.
Jesus. Yeah. I was thinking, this is one last Ed and Eddie thought,
I also they fight something called the Canker Sisters.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about that, but
no. I think the Canker Sisters are, you know, the it's just three girls who map and analogously onto all of them. So, you know, there's a big dumb one. I believe that's the case.
Yeah, like how Alvin and the Chipmunks had those weird like genetically created mates for them. Yeah. that's a weird thing to have happen. Like what if you know, I wasn't married, like the Duckfeed people, none of us were married. Uh-huh. And like me, you, Jeremy and Will, like went out walking somewhere. And then we ran into the female, me, you, Jeremy and Will, who were also podcasters who were physically analogous to us and personality wise. I wouldn't immediately be like the Chipmunks where they're just like, yeah, let's breed.
Yeah, no. I would feel like, okay, somebody has come Dibs to replace on the me.
Jeremy.
just sink into her broad shoulders.
Yeah. just like treat me like a crawfish. Swamp mama.
oh my god.
But yeah, I would feel like I was being like something horrible was afoot.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. Somebody has designs on my life. Yeah.
Yeah. and they basically have earned it. Like they have designs on my life, but I gotta hand it to them in this scenario.
I wouldn't go to those lengths.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Neither. They've crafted these homunculi.
Yeah. It's weird how many kids shows had a conceit where part of every group composition was there's an inventor. You probably had a crew that you rolled with when you were a kid.
Oh yeah.
Was there an inventor among them?
We had two.
You had two inventors.
we didn't have two inventors.
Yeah.
I didn't know any. I've never met an inventor.
No.
No.
Huh.
Have you met an inventor?
Well, I mean, I had a wacky neighbor once.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. I've never met an inventor.
Yeah. They were building a supersonic jet. He was a disgraced nuclear physicist. And I mean, we went to the past.
He kept on saying something about Project Paperclip. I don't know.
But it's okay. I was an apt pupil and I figured out what was up. Inventor was a very common profession for a child in fiction.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I tried to invent something as a kid, I would do, you know, something like that. It would always be like, I've invented a grappling hook, and it would be some dental floss, you know, that I tied a stick to.
Yeah.
You know, and I really wish I could be around to make fun of my younger self as an adult and be like, hey, man, what are you doing?
You know? You want to go back in time and roast the hook?
Yeah, I can't go home and roast the hook. Go back and I'm going to do time crimes with the roast hook. Just like, what are you doing, little man? You know, I know you're dealing with some stuff. Here, let me help with that so you don't have to sit down and make dental floss hooks.
It was such a, like, it was such a stereotype about bookish kids, you know, about nerds in media that it convinced me that it was something that I should, like, I should get a couple of, you know,
inventions under your belt.
If you haven't published by the time you're seven, the game's over.
Yeah. Publish or perish or puberty. Pick two.
But like I never got beyond the part where you were taking stuff apart. It's like, all right, I know that to make something you have to modify, you know, you have to modify something else. You're not going to make anything out of just matter, right? And so I would, you know,
that's the domain of gods.
Yeah. I'd go get a screwdriver or something and take apart, like, I don't know, a fucking candy cell phone with a little corkscrew in it.
Yeah.
And then it would, you know, like, okay, well, I don't know what to do with this.
Some crafting materials. You'd then have some plastic and some springs.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it was some garbage. I turned this, it was already garbage, if I'm being honest, but I turned this garbage into more
pieces of garbage.
Yeah. Smaller, more numerous garbage.
Yeah. You turn the garbage into choking hazards.
I learned about this. Apparently, when I was a kid, for my entire family and basically any, like, you know, if everybody that my family worked with, if I was brought to there, I was the fucking scourge who took apart all the pens.
I
was that guy who took apart the pens and maybe the springs went away.
Yeah. Pens are so useful too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I used to do that kind of shit too. I wasn't a scourge, but I would, you know, I've taken apart a pen or two in my time.
Yeah. Just fidgeting. I'm sitting here fidgeting with a multi-tool right now, Gary, but I would go to a place, be bored, see a bunch of pens and be like, oh, I could take those apart.
Isn't it interesting that it's been in our lifetime that fidgeting has become a acceptable thing that like is necessary?
Yeah.
Like that wasn't a thing when we were young.
They used to tase you if you were fidgeting in class.
And I did fidget. Uh-huh. I did all the time. At some point, my teacher, I used to tap, you know, to fidget. And my teacher said, at some point, couldn't get me to stop and said, tap on your head because then nobody else but can hear it except for you. And I still do that. If I have no object, I do that in movies and stuff. I'll do little drum beats on my head and no one else can hear it.
She taught you to stim.
She did teach me to stim. But it wasn't like, here, it's okay for you to kind of flip this thing back and forth in your fingers because it's helping you think, you know, it's helping you calm down. It's so weird that like now everyone just like, yeah, fidget.
No, like, here's special. Fidget,
this is good.
Here's special doodads.
Yeah. Here's a doodad for it. It's just for this. This is encouraged. This is healthy. It feels like a weird, like I understand, you know, the idea of recognizing the need for that is a new thing, but it doesn't feel like there's like a specific cultural moment I can point to. It feels like it gradually just kind of happened.
Yeah. Like there was just something that like, and anytime something like that happens, there were probably decades of just thankless work being done first in like special education and then in early education. Like that is a generational shift that had to bubble up.
Yeah. You know, and enough people to get over the being irritated at watching other people fidget, you know, to just like be like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Fidget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do it all the time. I have a constant.
Yeah. So somebody gets frustrated at me for doing that kind of stuff. It's one of the worst things that happens because like you can't, there's no getting around it. Like the very few times somebody has ever told me to stop bouncing my knee.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, how do you fucking figure? You know, I'll just get right on that. This thing I've been doing for 40 years.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. The knee just bounce. I don't tell the knee to bounce, but the knee bounce.
If you want me to stop that, you have to put me to sleep.
Yeah.
Like I would need to be tranquilized by you.
You cannot hold me responsible for stopping something that I didn't make a decision to do.
I didn't start.
Later,
you know, it just happens now. Yeah. And also, fucking weirdo. Why is this annoying you? Why do you care? You know?
I don't know.
Yeah. Frustrating. My last thing I want to say about Ed, Edd n Eddy is that I think that when you did hang out with a crew of kids, inventor or no, you knew kids like this. Like, I feel like just like three little trash children who just like were always doing schemes and were gross.
Yeah.
This happened all the time. It's just real weird for a cartoon to take their perspective. And I think that's maybe why it had, like, that's the most charitable read I can have for it having a fandom. It's like finally something that has the little shitty Hesher perspective.
They were always like trying to like dig a hole or build a clubhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way more building projects than my group did that didn't actually build anything. You know, there weren't successful clubhouses.
Yeah, no, there's ended up being a little hole in the ground. Yeah. I've got something real quick in terms of digression. I know we're at time, but I also know that if I don't tell the story, it's going to fall out of my head.
Yeah.
And it has to do with me going and doing something, which never, ever happens.
Yes.
So I've been going to I signed up for a membership at the Y, and have been going and doing workouts and stuff. Today I was in the locker room there and just taking a shower or whatever. And there was a man. Sometimes there's a man, and I only give this detail not to be ageist, but just to paint the picture for you. Also to ask a question. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to be real, like I think that if you're going to tell a story about a man in a locker room,
Yeah.
Like, we're going to assume that it's an old man.
It has to be.
Locker rooms at gyms.
Yes, that is locker rooms at gyms. And this might be the most common behavior in the entire world, but he was stark naked and standing in front of one, like, just this big industrial fan that is meant to, like, circulate air in the entire room. He was standing in front of it, using it to dry himself off.
Well, that's the that's that one tweet. Do you remember? Dorky thing I just said, but there was that tweet when 2016, when Trump was campaigning, where all of his horrible things he said, people are like, oh, that's locker room talk. And somebody tweeted like, that's not locker room talk. Locker room talk is, did you see that old man drying his asshole with the blow dryer? Like, that's locker room talk.
Yeah.
You know?
So, okay. No, I don't remember this tweet. And, you know, so much about my experience with this is blasé and first time. But, like, he was standing there and then he turned around and basically bent over in front of this fan.
Oh, yeah.
And then stepped up, like, lifted his foot up in order to create ingress for the air into his undercarriage. And I'm not watching this because, you know, you gotta keep it out of the side of your eye. You don't want to be rude.
You can't look directly at it.
No, it'll draw you in.
It's
like Slender Man.
Yeah, it'll haunt you.
Yeah.
It follows, man.
And then he put up the other leg. It was just like, I'm standing right here, sir.
Yeah.
And it made me think, what the fuck was Korea like? Like, what went on? Where did you learn this?
Whatever war you're from,
yeah,
go back there. I don't understand. It's the same continuum that I don't know if you've had that. I've talked about this before, but if you have this experience of old men free farting in grocery stores, it's the same thing, I think.
Yeah.
Like, if you can free fart in a grocery store and you're like, that was fine, nothing happened, you can do anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they do.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, this, especially in the, you know, four walled permission structure that is the locker room at the Y.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. So
I that would be upsetting to me.
I'm not even like angry about it. It's just more like, how do you get to that point?
Yeah. I'm certainly not angry about it. I just don't, I don't know. I like, what am I supposed to be about it?
That's like, I brought a towel, sir. Yeah,
I'm thrilled about it.
I'm just hooting and hollering.
Yeah, I'm literally just losing my mind at how cool this is. I'm in the honk your if you're horny sketch about this, just following this guy's gaping asshole around, going, whoa, 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 look at it, ooh, you know, like bonking my horn,
you know. And then when he left, he told me to have a good day, and I told him to have a good day.
Yeah, I hope he did.
You know,
I really do hope he did.
Yeah, so that's my story.
Wowie zowie.
Yeah.
Well. quite a ball.
Yeah, two of them.
That's rough. Mm-hmm. That's rough, man. I haven't seen elderly genitals in a really long time. Other than, like, every once in a while you're browsing through porn and, like, you know, something will just pop up. You're not searching for it, but it'll sneak its way in.
Wasn't, you know, fishing, but caught it.
Yeah, it wasn't fishing, you know. Yeah, like you put out the pog bait and you get a, you know, get just a mountain goat, you know, kind of action.
Yeah.
Just big hairy ball, but that's real old and dangly. Yeah. I don't particularly care for it.
Yeah. That's out there for someone.
Yeah. It's out there for
those
someone.
Balls.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody's, you know, enjoying the calendar that comes with the gym. Old men of the locker room 2023 calendar that comes with your gym.
Yeah. it's the home version.
Yeah. We offer a virtual experience you can play in a web browser if you want to shower with somebody's dad simulator.
It runs on the Vive and on the regular Oculus, but it does not run on the Quest. Do not ask to run it on the Quest.
We had an audio glitch there. So our competing jokes at the same time. Mine was it runs on Sac OS, which was Mac OS, but with Sac. What should people do if they like this show?
If people like the show, they should go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and kick us some money at $5 a month. You get 2 bonus episodes of this show, along with a whole bunch of other bonus content. Bonfire Side Chat, the premium Watch Out for Fireballs episodes, Unfilmable. It's chock-a-block with stuff for you.
Absolutely chock-a-block. Yeah. You should, I think, you should do all that stuff. Enjoy it.
What else can they do?
What else can you do? You can rate or review us. And you can tell your friends about us. And you can listen to all of our shows. Every goddamn one of them.
And come back and tell us.
Yeah. Prove it.
Yeah. I think that's just about everything. And until next time, blow dry your asshole on warm, not hot. We're not looking to fry any calamari here.
I already blow dry my asshole, but just not in public.
So. That's the thing.